9 to the end for Brother Harry Glendenning. The subject is the Commission of the Apostles. Revelation 7, beginning with the 9th verse. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God, forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Brother Harry.
Thank you, Brother. Well, brothers and sisters, my address this evening to you is for the benefit of hope. Both old and young. That's what the real teaching of the apostles was. Now you remember that in running through your New Testament, that John, the forerunner of Christ, come in heralding to the world the approach of Christ, and saying, The royal majesty of the heaven is at hand. That's a literal Greek rendering of that text. Now when Christ said approach, we find Christ says the royal majesty of heaven has approached. And under that outfit there was many that came to John and was baptized. He said all Jerusalem, all Judea came and was baptized. Now, repentance, saying that they should believe on him that should come after him. Now, as we come down through then, Christ came upon the scene. What was his subject that he preached? As we know, it was the kingdom of God. The first sermon he preached was his own town. 43rd verse of that 4th chapter of Luke says, He said, I must need preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore I must send. He went with his ministry of 12 and 70 for a period of some 3 or 3.5 years, and finally ascended into the heaven. But what we're concerned about was a message. In giving this message, he didn't give it to the whole world in general, did he? If you'll turn with me to the 10th chapter of Matthew, and there we find that Christ told his disciples, says, Go not go not into the Gentiles, nor any city of the Samaritan, but rather go eat the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So their preaching was confined to the Jews. If you read the 15th chapter, you'll find he told the Syrophoenician woman that to them only was he sent. Well, what did they preach? As I told you, Christ preached the kingdom of God. If you did not, if you want to deny that, just read the subject that he used there at that. In Mark 1 and 14, it says, After John was put in prison, Christ went about all Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, there's many persons today that would love to know just how they could be saved. A lot of them would like to be saved without doing anything, but that is not the case, however, as we will show as we go through the book. Now, we know there's two things that make for our salvation. One is what we believe, and the other is the use we make of it, our moral support to that belief. So morals is essential to our salvation, but morals alone will not save you. Neither would faith alone save you, because the brother read in your hearing this morning that faith without works is dead. Now you know you couldn't be saved with a dead faith, could you? Then he goes on in the 26th verse of that second chapter of James, and he makes it clearer. He says that the body without the spirit or breath, read margin, is dead. Now you know if you take the breath away, what would happen to people? What would happen to all animal creation if you take the breath away? And speaking of animals, in Psalms 104, he says, he hideth his face, they are troubled. He taketh away their breath, they die, or turn again unto dust. In Ecclesiastes 3:7, he says, both man and animal have the same breath, so that would do that. Now, James says that the body without the spirit is dead, all without the breath. He take away their breath and they die. Now, the thing of it is, we all shudder to contemplate what will be after that. Now, it's for this very purpose that they were sent into all the world. We know that every man that is born into this world was born under a sentence of death, and that he has multiplied that sin that condemned man in the start thousands and millions of times. And therefore, a salvation that I could offer you without the remission of sins would be a salvation that would be useless. So I'm coming this evening. I want to follow those apostles in this preaching of the kingdom, because they had preached it with Christ to the Jew there for a period of 3.5 years, or three sometime. I'll not dispute the exact time, but anyway, what did they preach? If you read Luke 9:1, he says he called his 12 together, gave them power and authority over all devils, and sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Now that is what they preach under Christ there when they was going about with Christ. But what was it to preach Christ there? If you read the 6th verse there, it said, and they went about all the cities and villages preaching the gospel. So that was the gospel they preached. Now, Christ was about to ascend to heaven. He told his disciples in Matthew 24:14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a testimony among all nations, not just to the Jew, because they just spent 3 years in proclaiming it to the Jew. Now, let's go further with that then and follow them in worldwide commission. I want to read some texts and then we'll elaborate on them as we go along. The first one I want to call your attention to was the commission that he gave those disciples. And I'm going to read first from Matthew, and it's the 28th chapter of Matthew. Here he says to them, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where he had appointed them. Now, under the appointment of Christ put him there just for the purpose here. And Jesus came and spake unto them, said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now he didn't have that all power that was given to him, did he? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Not just the Jewish nation, but all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now Mark records this a little different, but I'll quote it. It's found in Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th, 16th verse. Then he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Spirit. Then in Mark 15:16, he said, go into all the world. Now what world did he mean? He couldn't have meant any more than what Matthew meant when he said all nations could. Now don't you think that those apostles, if they carried out that commission, would tell you what you must do to be saved? I want you young folks to pay particular this. And he says, teaching, he said, baptize him in the name of the Father, and go and teach all nations, baptize him in the name of the Father, and what? And lo, I'm with you. And these signs, he says, shall follow them that believe. All that says some way, well, you say they've got to be baptized, but you deny that these signs follow them at this time. In my name, shall they cast out devils. Now that was a positive that could happen to them there. And in my name, and these signs to follow them and believe, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take no They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, if those positives are in effect now, people that doesn't understand what those signs were for, that was to follow the preaching of the apostles, is to follow them through and take the apostles' word for it. Paul spoke of it in the Hebrew letter, and here's what he said it is for. He said, if the words, he said, spoken by angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation which began to be spoken to the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both the signs and miracles and divers gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And what was it for, did Paul say? It was to confirm that word, which was spoke by inspiration, and these prodigies confirmed it. Now, Christ didn't like those things in his preaching, did he? Let's go back and read some of Christ here before we come along. This is a long sermon, I'll admit. And in John, we find that many other things, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Now, we know many miracles that he performed during his ministry, don't we? We've read them in that. Many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are sufficient that you might believe that he is the Son of God. Now, would you think that they'd take more prodigies? There wasn't all written that he done, but these were sufficient, he said, that they might believe. Now, under the influence of that same Spirit, we read in John 14 and 26 here, in John 26 and 14 it is, where he says, if I go away, I will send, the Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. And he will teach, he will direct you, the disciples, into all truth. He shall direct you and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, do you think under the influence of that Holy Spirit, when it was brought to those disciples, that they couldn't speak by inspiration the same as Christ? Now, what did these miracles and things that Christ performed, what did they do for him? Didn't you never read it in Acts 2:22? Somebody turn to that if they want to follow me. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know. Now, then how was Christ approved? Now, how was these apostles approved? Paul said, it was confirmed unto us that they had heard God also bearing him witness both with signs, miracles, and divers gifts according to his own will. So now, we can follow along with safety to know that, do you believe the inspiration is given those apostles and directed into the all truth? Do you believe we're having you do? Do you think it'd be necessary then for us to have those same prodigies performed by the preachers of today? If you do, you might have badly disappointed because they can't do it. What they do is mockery. But let's go on. I want to read another one and introduce. The next reading is Luke 24:45-49. In reading it in Luke 24, and I'm going to begin the 45th chapter. And here's where Christ, after he had met those two disciples there on the way to Emmanuel. I want to see that and it convinced him, according to the scripture, that he must die. He goes over it again in giving them things to be done. And this was just part of his ascension, just a few hours. And here's what he said. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. That repentance, remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Beginning of Jews. Now that was not just the Jew, because he was to go, send him into all the world, to all nations. And he said that for them to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now I don't know, they couldn't have proclaimed it then. until that power, they were recipients of that power that was promising. So I want to introduce to you Acts 1 here. In Acts 1, you know, they'd been under a misconception. They expected that Christ would not have to die to establish his kingdom. And therefore, just prior to his ascension, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, sixth verse of the first chapter of Acts, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? But he says this, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of season which the Father himself has put in his own power. It did prove this, that Israel's kingdom had not been restored. It also proved that they didn't know because the Father had put that matter in his own power. Then he goes on to say, but ye shall receive power as the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now what difference in power was that from the power they received in Mark 9? In Mark 9 he said he gave them power and authority over all devils and cured disease, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. But could they under that commission there during that Jewish preaching to the Jew for a period of 3 years, what language could they speak? Did he give them power to speak the languages of all the earth at that time? He did not. But here's what he did then. He says, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, the very place he told them not to go, nor to the way of the Gentiles, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, do you think those disciples in going and preaching that gospel, that gospel, when obeyed, would save them? That's what Christ said, he would believe it, and he was baptized, so I was saved. I'm going to show that these conversions were according to that commission. And for people to try to evade these scriptures will be disastrous to them, I think. I'm going to read now and then. Let's follow them in the ministry here. You'd love to know. He said it was to begin at Jerusalem. Now, didn't it? How could they preach to all the nations of the earth and them go in and only spoke the Hebrew language? They had to do it by inspiration. Therefore, he said they would be endued with power from on high, but to carry ye to Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. What happened on the day of Pentecost? He said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world. People today don't believe that message, especially the 36th verse here. I'll take the thing because it was to be preached in his name. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. It is not completed until you enter Christ's name, because that's the only place anything, any promise that God ever made is to be fulfilled. All the promises of God are in him. Yea, yea, there's no nays to them. But him will come to the... And what did it say in the 36th verse? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, it's necessary then to believe in a crucified Lord, and the one that is crucified was the one that is now Lord in Christ. Is that the Christ that we all believe in today? Now, it is in that name, Him being made, both Lord and Christ, He became the Lord of the quick and the dead, the judge of the quick and the dead, and therefore will at some time save people out of the death state of which they could not hurt. So we find here that Peter preached a sermon in this. He said David, and he quoted from the prophet. David being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Seeing this before, expect the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades or hell, as we have in it, neither his flesh did see corruption. Then we come, what was the result? What did the commission say? And he said, go preach this gospel. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Did this year, beginning of this worldwide commission under Peter, was it true to that commission? Was that what happened? Let's read it in Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now what happened here? We read in the 41st verse, and they that gladly received the word were baptized. So it had to be preached, it had to be received and obeyed. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was quite a bunch of converts there at Jerusalem to those Jews and proselytes that were assembled there on the day of Pentecost. Now let's go to the place where he had told them not to go under the worldwide commission, not to go into any city of Samaria. But we read here in Acts 8, beginning at the 5th verse, he says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, to preach Christ, what was it? Those two great subjects, the things of the kingdom, the things of the name. In the 6th verse it says, and that to preach Christ unto them, and 12th verse it is, but when they believe, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now wasn't that true to the commission? It had to be heard, it had to be believed, and it had to be obeyed. Again we might find the Apostle Paul in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 5th verse, says there's only one baptism. They were baptized that day with the Holy Spirit. But under the Great Commission to give, Paul says here there's only one baptism. What was they baptized in here at Samaria? They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, because if we read on here, that Simon the Sorcerer also believed and was baptized. And continued with Philip, and wondering, beholding the miracles which they did. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, which Philip went down and delivered them. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they came down, prayed to them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now they hadn't received that, but what happened to them? For yet it was fallen upon one of them only. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the baptism that he done had of those apostles was prior to their reception of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he must have baptized them in water. That was the mode. But let's go further here. Next we come here to Saul. And what about Saul's conversion? What kind of man was Paul? Was he a good man or a bad man? You can read lots about him here in the Acts of the Apostles. He says himself that he was a Jew born at Tarsus. And he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, the most learned man of his age. Now Tarsus, as we know, is a Roman province. Therefore, although he was a Jew, he was born there. Which served many times in his alibi in getting back to them. And therefore he says, and speaking of this time, I am barely a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicily, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Now he was a zealous man. He was brought up in regard to this law in which he was brought up. Let's go here to the Colossians letter in the 3rd chapter. I want to show you that Paul, and he told the truth about himself. In the Philippian letter, the 3rd chapter. Speaking of those Jews, he says, therefore I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath wrought, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, now notice, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law of blameless. And now, was Paul saved at the time of his immersion? Was he saved when he was in this position, persecuting the church, being a Pharisee? Of course, taught the Pharisaical doctrine, didn't he? That is one impression I want to make on you young people. There's nothing but the truth going to do this for you. If you haven't got it, your immersion is not valid. Neither would Paul have been. But what was it? Let's go, Paul, a little further in the 10th chapter. In the 9th chapter of Acts, and read here in regard to Paul's conversion. At the very time he was converted, the very time, we find that he had got permission and the chief priests and the authorities to go down and gather all that are this way and bring them to Jerusalem to be punished. But here's what it says. On his way down there, he was hailed. And as he sojourned, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and a voice came unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now notice then, it's hard for thee to keep against the priests. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He began to decide to do as the Lord said. And what did the Lord say? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, who was the man in the city that told Paul that? Let's go to the 22nd chapter of Acts. Ananias, that if you'll read on down there, after he had received his sight, I'll read on there. I'll argue on this a little. Arise and go into the street that is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. Now that's what was told on the night. And behold, he prayed, and had seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now Ananias come, and he had authority from chief priests to bind all that call on the name out of Paul. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles. Now notice that. And kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name. Now would you think that Paul in this shape before he went down there to Ananias did what it was told him he must do, that he was saved? He asked, What must I do? What shall you have me to do? He said, It be told thee by one down there what thou must do. Now let's go there and read Paul's account of it in the 22nd chapter of Acts. I'm going through these conversions really to show his true commission. One was he had to hear. And then the 16th verse of the 22nd chapter, after he had reheard what his vision was on the way to Damascus, and he said to him in the 16th verse, I'm going to start the 14th. And he said, The God of our fathers which has chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the words of his mouth, that thou shalt be his witness unto all men of whom thou hast of what thou hast seen and heard. And now what tiest thou? Now thou hast found that very zealous man, a very great man. Now he yielded so far to what had been told him, since he's being stricken down by the Lord himself and talked to him. He said, Arise, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins. So he was a sinner still, was he not? And that the washing away of those sins would mean the calling upon the name of the Lord. Now there's Paul. Now in the 26th chapter, we find what his mission would be during then. I want to read that and then I'll go back to the Gentiles. Now we find that Paul in rehearsing this, at midday, O king, I saw in the way. At midday, O king, I saw in the way, a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when he was fallen, when I was fallen to the earth, when he was fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to prick against, kick against the prick. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now listen, what purpose he called for. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which I have seen and of them which are things in which I have appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and to the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of their sins, and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Now outside of that, what was that commission in the 26th chapter, in the 24th chapter of Luke, that Christ said? He says, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to die, and rise again the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. Now he said, when they have been turned from darkness to light, have been sanctified or separated, that they might receive the remission of their sins. Now, who preached the first sermon to the Gentiles, and who was it? Let's go back and study them a minute. But just back off, giving the words of the apostle himself, who did the preaching to the Gentiles. Coming to the 15th chapter, we found a dispute there among them as to the keeping of the law of Moses. And some claim, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they had a committee, and here's some of Peter's sayings. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles from my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So Peter was a speaker at the house of Cornelius. But he was like all those Jews, he'd taken a miracle to prove to him to do that, because they didn't believe that this gospel was for the Gentiles. So going back now to the, but this text over here, he said that he would send Paul to turn them from darkness to light and power of Satan to God, that they might receive the remission of their sin and inheritance among them as sanctified. Now going back to the 10th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and we come to the first Gentile conversion onto the worldwide commission. And Peter said that God had told him a good while ago that by his mouth that the Gentile should hear the word of God from believe. Now we find him here at Cornelius then. Now, Cornelius, let's just read about what kind of man he was. I don't think you'd find a better one in the world today, just ordinarily, than Cornelius was. But was Cornelius saved at the time of being a good man at that time? Let's read it. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the Augustus band. Called the Italian band. Now he was what we call a lieutenant over a bunch of soldiers. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayer and thine arms are gone up for a memorial before me. Yeah, I remember on that. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, and lodges one Simeon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now he didn't. If there's anything else, if Cornelius is saved, if all the good things that we read that Cornelius did, and it's not that he was saved on that, wouldn't be no. But look, Peter rehearsed what Cornelius said. And the Spirit bade me go to nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Saul, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby, and all thy house shall be saved. So if he is saved by that time, those words didn't do it, did it? But we know that Peter carried a message down there that would save Cornelius. Now I want to give you now. So he goes down there, and coming back to the preaching of Peter here, now we find that Cornelius was better instructed than most people you go out in the world today. How many people do you meet in the world today that knew what Cornelius done at the time Peter addressed him there to his house? Now how many? Let me show you. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but he that in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Now, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace to Jesus Christ, he, Lord, of all that word, I say ye know, which was published, now noted, throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now what was that word? Go back into Galilee and find out. And Mark 1:14 says, after John was put in prison, Christ went about all Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now he said, Cornelius knew, didn't he? What about saying that Cornelius concerned Cornelius' soul? Let's read all what happened there. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now God was the one that done the anointing. He furnished that power to Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on trees. But what did he go on to say? Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto men, witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which is ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him, now notice the message here. I don't know if you got it, and I know confusion. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, not out of it, just what he said back there, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him. Now take it, get the dialogue away and read it. It says, in to him. Shall receive remission of sin. While Peter had spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. Now what was the command? Now Cornelius was even saved when that Holy Spirit fell on him. I want to know if he wasn't saved out of that name. Because here's the word, here's the thing that put him in the name. We find here that, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Now notice that. That they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we did, all that received it. And what was the command? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now that was the command. Now was he saved before he entered that name? You say he is saved outside of that name? I want to read another in from Acts of the Apostles. You hear it a lot. And this is true with what Jesus said in John too. I'm going to quote this and I'm going to read this to you. In the 4th chapter of Acts, in the 12th verse, I guess you're on. Now, notice it. That this is the stone which was set in note of you builders, and which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Notice that. Under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. So if he was saved, Cornelius was before that. Well, what was the command, commission? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now isn't that true, the commission? Isn't it the one that Peter told him what he must do and didn't he do it? So that is that conversion. But I'm going to go back. I skipped on here that was a Jew, probably apostolic Jew. I don't know what he was. It's found in Acts, the 8th chapter. And that was the eunuch. Now this eunuch was a man under Candace, queen of Ethiopia. And he had a good position there. He was keeper of all the goods. He was a treasure. But it said he had been up to Jerusalem for worship. And on his way returning, Peter was commanded by the Spirit to join himself to the church. And he did it. Now Peter, when Philip joined himself, And he had invited Philip to come sit with him in the chariot. And then Philip ran to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Now that apostle, that man, had been up there to Jerusalem for the worship. And of course he was a Jew religiously, but no. He is an Ethiopian on the kind of field. But here he was, returning to man to his native place there with the queen. And he says, "How can I accept some man guide me?" Now that's what people need today, just somebody to guide them. Somebody to read the Bible with them and help them with the understanding of these scriptures. Now he said the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened his mouth." Now, respected friends, if we just preach the thing of the name and the things of Jesus, would that be a good place to start? Can we preach it from a prophet? Notice what he said here. "In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, that his life is taken from the earth?" Now, what was that recorded? In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Now he says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." So Jesus is taught in that. Well, did Jesus ever verify a statement like that that was made here by Philip? Let's go back to Jesus. And what did he say? In the 24th chapter of Luke here, where we've been reading, I want to read to you just what he told those two disciples, Cephas and Nathanael, on the way to Damascus. And see what he said. In the 24th chapter of Luke, and we find him saying this to them. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning, now notice, that Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now he begins here in Isaiah, and there he preached Jesus to that end. Now do you believe that was true of the commission? What happened after he had preached to that eunuch there in the 8th chapter of Acts? What happened? Why, he said, one of the two preached Christ in the scripture. Now they went along, and the eunuch said to him, said, as they went along, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now how do you think that eunuch knew to be baptized if it didn't come under the preaching of Philip at that time? Where could he have got it? So what did Philip do? He baptized him. Now what was the commission? "Go into all the world, teach all nations, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now Paul was to be sent to Gentiles. We can't take up too many, let's see how much time I'm getting up there. I don't know what time I started. Now, does any of you?
I didn't notice.
Did you notice? Well, I won't go too long. Here, the first Gentile, now he said, it's turn them from darkness to light, pass them to God, they might receive a remission of sin, and inheritance among them that are sanctified. I will go into a few of these, and then follow the name. We know that in his name is the only way to get remission of sin. We know that in his name is the only way to obtain salvation. And therefore, in the Colossian letter 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So it's through him. Now I want to give you a text that's found in Acts 4, and then one in Acts 13:38. In Acts 4 we find, as they spake unto the people and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, do you believe that through Jesus didn't mean in Jesus? Didn't Christ say, I am the resurrection and life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live? Didn't he say in John 3:16 that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, read your margin, read your guideline, believeth into him, might not perish, and that you're just as sure to perish as you stand here if this doesn't take place? Alright, here we are then. To the Corinthian brothers, we go first. You couldn't find the word set of characters depicted here in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians here, we have this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, or drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now that was a bad month, wasn't it? Them kind of people are bad people. And they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, such were some of you. But ye have been sanctified. How's that? Separated. How are you separated? Place from one to the other there. But ye are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord. That's the only way you see it. And by the Spirit of our God, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. So we find then that those characters could only be saved through